Tonight, shockwaves around the world as President Trump withdraws from the Iran nuclear deal. Major fallout. Will Iran restart its nuclear program, and what does it mean for a potential deal with North Korea? Growing dangers in Hawaii. New cracks in the earth spewing lava, swallowing homes, and now toxic gas filling the air in the hot zone. Driving while high as more places legalize pot.
How much did you have for smoking?
About
a half a joint. And about how long ago was that?
We're on the beat with cops who say there's an uptick in people smoking weed then getting behind the wheel. Outrage over a shocking incident of high school hazing caught on camera. A football player pummeled by his teammates so badly he needed surgery. Parents now suing and sounding the alarm. And the soldier salute from his hospital bed. Wait until you see the inspiring update we found.
You really didn't know what recovery looked like, did you?
I didn't really know what the future was going to look like.
On our Across America tour here in Denver.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening from the Mile High City. We're just outside Denver's historic Union Station, the second stop on our five-day Across America journey. Reporting from here shortly, but we begin with that big decision announced by President Trump today that the U.S. is essentially reneging on the nuclear deal with Iran. The president's decision to walk away from the pact, which was designed to inhibit Iran's ability to make a nuclear weapon, comes despite pressure from key European allies that were also signatories to the deal, as well as repeated findings by his own administration that Iran was in compliance with the agreement. But for Donald Trump, it's a campaign promise made, promise kept, albeit one with uncertain consequences. Our Hallie Jackson starts our coverage.
Tonight, one of the most significant but not surprising foreign policy moves from President Trump.
The United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
Punishing new sanctions now back in place as the president gives some companies up to 6 months to wind down involvement with Iran.
We cannot prevent an Iranian nuclear bomb under the decaying and rotten structure of the current agreement.
The 2015 deal forced Iran to get rid of 95% of its nuclear fuel and allow outside inspections in exchange for relief from tough international sanctions. But the president never liked that the deal let Iran start up some activity again in 2025 and that it didn't address other bad behavior, like Iran's ballistic missile program.
It's a bad deal.
It was a terrible deal.
Horrible, horrible, horrible Iran deal.
Still, his own administration has acknowledged Iran's not violating its end of the agreement.
I've seen no evidence that they are not in compliance.
Now, President Obama, who negotiated the deal, says President Trump's decision risks eroding America's credibility. John Brennan was his CIA director.
Mr. Trump has sent a signal, do not count on the United States. You cannot believe what we say.
Here at home, new sanctions might make it harder for Iran to sell its oil. That could trigger higher prices, which may mean you end up paying more for gas. And overseas?
The message he's trying to send is that he may not live up to past agreements, but he will live up to the promises he makes.
For the president, a significant step into uncharted territory. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, The White House.
This is Richard Engel. Instant reaction to President Trump's announcement in Iran, where President Hassan Rouhani came out near midnight to say he'll stick with the deal even without the U.S., but threatening what could happen if the now wounded agreement crumbles entirely. If Iranian benefits in the deal aren't provided, he said, Iran is ready to resume industrial nuclear activity. Across Europe, there's a chill tonight that the U.S., under President Trump, may not be a reliable partner anymore. An unusual joint statement read, "It is with regret and concern that we, the leaders of France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, take note of President Trump's decision." Just last month, French President Emmanuel Macron made a personal plea to keep the deal at the White House.
We should not abandon it without having something substantial.
But at least two countries loved President Trump's move, Saudi Arabia and Israel, where last week, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made a dramatic case to drop the deal, citing intelligence that Iran made the deal in bad faith. Tonight, praising President Trump.
Israel fully supports President Trump's bold decision today to reject the disastrous nuclear deal with the terrorist regime in Tehran.
And Richard, one of the obvious questions is what impact could this have on nuclear negotiations with North Korea?
So, of course, they're related. We know that Secretary of State Pompeo is heading to North Korea, reportedly to try to secure the release of three American citizens. It would be a confidence-building measure for a future summit. But this move today by President Trump will make North Korea and its backer, China, very nervous. They'll want more guarantees for any agreement they'd sign. So the price just went up. Lester?
Richard Engel in our London newsroom. Thank you. Also now, turning to other stories, we're turning to the stunning downfall of New York's Attorney General. Eric Schneiderman swiftly resigned just hours after he was publicly accused by four women of abuse. Now, Schneiderman, who positioned himself as a champion of the Me Too era, is under investigation by the Manhattan DA. NBC's Ann Thompson reports.
New York's tabloids blared the shocking accusations. The state's top law enforcement officer, Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, accused of spitting at, choking, hitting, or demeaning four women he dated, claims New York's governor today promised would be investigated by an independent district attorney.
No one is above the law. No one should be afraid to come forward.
The women, two on the record who were in relationships with him for more than a year, two unidentified, telling their stories to The New Yorker. Michelle Manning Barish says one night Schneiderman called her a whore, and then all of a sudden he just slapped me, open-handed with great force, across the face, landing the blow directly onto my ear. Author Tanya Selvaretnam says we could rarely have sex without him beating me. The Sri Lankan native also claims he started calling me his brown slave. 3 hours after their claims were published, Schneiderman resigned, saying in a statement he strongly contests the allegations and they are unrelated to his professional conduct, stating earlier, "I have not assaulted anyone." His downfall, all the more mind-boggling, because Schneiderman, a Democrat, publicly was a champion of women, suing Harvey Weinstein for sexually harassing employees.
We have never seen anything as despicable as what we've seen here.
And investigating the Manhattan District Attorney's decision not to prosecute Weinstein for allegedly groping a model. Now the same DA will investigate Schneiderman.
And I want to say to anyone who was victimized by the Attorney General and has not yet come forward, please do come forward to the NYPD.
A public advocate accused of being a private abuser. Alleged actions that are secret no more. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
In Hawaii tonight, fears of more eruptions from an angry volcano on the Big Island. With the earth shaking more than 1,000 times in less than a week, lava has now destroyed more than 35 homes, forcing evacuations, and now concerns about toxic gas in the air. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer is in the sky and on the ground with the National Guard.
With new fissures splitting open, spewing lava and toxic gas, the Leilani Estates are in the hot zone. At least 35 structures here destroyed.
As you can see, it's still smoking and hot down here.
Today, the National Guard checking air quality where right we there, found we the tsunami of lava distance. That smothered homes.
Knowing we've lost everything, this doesn't seem real. We walk our dogs up and down the street every day.
From above Kilauea, rivers of lava on the move.
Those fissures have been breaking out miles away from the volcano. They're spreading out like fingers. We can see where they're moving into residential neighborhoods. At 1,500 feet, even along the ocean, you can clearly smell the sulfur in the air.
That toxic gas creates volcanic pollution called VOG, which can cause respiratory issues. If the winds are unfavorable, the pollution can reach Honolulu, 200 miles away.
Just makes your eyes water, your throat hurts, everything hurts.
Tonight, in the air and on the ground, an unfolding disaster, forever changing the landscape.
With lava from the new eruptions now covering more than 100 acres of land, the governor has declared a disaster, saying the damage is in the millions. And when lava fields like this, when hardened, some will never be able to return back home. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer for us tonight. Thank you. It is primary night in several states, and that could determine control of the United States Senate. Primary races in Ohio, Indiana, and North Carolina today. But it's the one in West Virginia that's getting a lot of national attention because of a controversial candidate, an ex-convict, trying to pull off a primary win to take on Democrat Joe Manchin this fall. NBC's Morgan Radford has that story from Charleston.
For Bill Farley, Don Blankenship is West Virginia's best bet.
The miners that work for Don Blankenship were the best paid miners in the state.
The ex-coal baron just got out of prison a year ago after his mine exploded in 2010, killing 29 people.
It doesn't bother you that he went to prison?
Not at all. Accidents happen.
Ditch Cocaine Mitch.
With controversial attacks on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his family.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people.
Do you feel badly for that?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because it's not anything that should make anyone feel bad. I mean, I don't know how else to describe the people that live in China.
Supporters love that brashness.
Don tells it like it is, just like Trump did.
But even the president says Blankenship can't win the general election because he's so controversial, especially for voters like Stanley Goose Stewart.
And I saw one of his ads that actually made me cry.
Stewart was in Blankenship's mine the day it exploded.
He is the very reason that mine blew up.
But that may not be enough to stop Blankenship's momentum.
Do you think you have a real shot at winning this thing?
I will win.
Especially if he's what West Virginians say they need.
He knows the coal industry. This state is coal.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Charleston, West Virginia.
Now back to our Cross America journey. And from here in Denver, a closer look at how legalized marijuana has added a new challenge for police on the lookout for drivers under the influence. As more places look to make pot legal, police say increased instances of motorist driving while high here in Colorado are raising some red flags. Every night as the sun sets in Denver, a possible unintended consequence of legalized marijuana comes to light. Denver Police Sergeant Rich Koisman, now part of an all-out effort to stop impaired drivers. He's been with the department's DUI unit since 2008. Are you seeing more drivers driving high, driving impaired because of marijuana?
Absolutely. We're definitely seeing more people driving high on marijuana. We're definitely seeing the numbers increase.
On a busy Friday night, Koisman stops this 23-year-old for speeding.
How much did you have for smoking?
About a half a joint.
He, like many drivers Koisman encounters, mixed alcohol and marijuana. While the roadside test for marijuana impairment is the same as for alcohol, it takes a blood test to be conclusive.
In terms of getting a court case to be able to say this person was definitely driving high, is it hard to get that proof?
It can be a little difficult trying to prove that somebody is driving high and is impaired by marijuana. Getting back to alcohol is scientific, validated, and accepted by the courts. Marijuana, we're just not there yet.
Preliminary results from a new survey reveal nearly 70% of marijuana users here admit they've driven under the influence at least once in the past year, with more than a quarter admitting they drive high every day. Colorado has been on the cutting edge of a national movement, one of nine states and D.C. to have legalized marijuana sales. 13 states have decriminalized marijuana use. It's now a billion-dollar industry that's brought thousands of jobs, and in Denver, nearly twice as many pot dispensaries as Starbucks.
$31.76 after tax.
The largest, Native Roots, has grown from two stores to 20.
Once you consume, you cannot drive, as per law in Colorado.
They work with the state DOT and MAD to educate consumers about the dangers of driving while high, including this warning card with every purchase.
It's extremely important for them to get that message every single time and for our staff to deliver it to them so that they can make smart transportation decisions.
He always had like a smile on his face.
Megan Cruz's boyfriend, Chad Britton, was killed by a teenage driver who admitted to smoking earlier in the day. She was just a few feet away.
I walked around the front of the car. His shoes were in the middle of the street with not him in him.
Sergeant Koisman with this warning to drivers who drive while they are high.
You're going to be arrested and you could potentially lose your license or you might cause a crash, and that's a mistake that's going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
And experts also point out that alcohol can amplify the effects of marijuana. There's more ahead. High school hazing outrage. We're going to tell you about the shocking locker room attack caught on camera. We'll be right back. We're back now with a disturbing incident of high school hazing that was caught on camera. A football player pummeled by his teammates so badly that he needed surgery. Now his parents are suing and issuing a call to action. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the story.
The video recorded last month shows multiple players beating up 14-year-old quarterback Rodney Kim Jr. Two players then jump on him.
I can't comprehend it. This barbaric behavior has to stop.
His parents are now suing the Board of Education for $12 million.
It's not about the money. It's about my child, the fact that he could have lost his life. He could be paralyzed right now.
Their son had just been promoted to the varsity team at Davidson High School in Mobile, Alabama. Instead, he needed surgery to repair his broken arm. In a written statement, school administrators say this type of behavior is completely unacceptable and not tolerated in this school system. Four students have been charged with third-degree assault.
At this point, we are still trying to sort out exactly who was committing the assaults.
An attorney for two of the accused juveniles denies the misdemeanor charge, calling it good-natured jostling. Hazing isn't just a problem on college campuses. One study found that 47% of all undergrads say they experienced it in high school.
Help these children.
Kim's parents think more players should be charged.
I don't want anyone to have to go through what we're facing.
But most of all, they want to call attention to what they see as a national fight against hazing. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
Coming up, do you suffer from spring allergies? And this might be your worst nightmare. We'll tell you about it. Springtime allergy sufferers, brace yourselves for this moment caught on camera when a New Jersey man knocked a tree with a backhoe and unleashed a giant cloud of pollen into the air. His wife posted the so-called pollen bomb on social media, where it's become a viral sensation. How do you like to get from here to there by skipping the traffic altogether and grabbing an Uber in the air? That's Uber's flying car concept, like something straight out of the Jetsons. Still years away from possible service, but Uber says the drone-like copters will be piloted at first, then fly autonomously. What could go wrong? And a viral moment touching hearts across the country when a flight delay kept National Guard soldier Brooks Lindsay from making it home to Mississippi in time for his wife to give birth. So he did the next best thing, watching the delivery over FaceTime. His reaction captured by fellow passengers. Lindsay eventually made it home to hold new daughter Millie in his arms. Up next, the salute seen around the world, a wounded warrior's remarkable recovery in tonight's Those Who Serve from Denver. Finally tonight, Those Who Serve. On our visit here to Denver, I was able to catch up with a young soldier who 5 years ago was captured in a photograph that touched the hearts of so many Americans. Horribly wounded, the image of his salute from a hospital bed spoke to his honor and strength, the same qualities that have shaped his remarkable recovery.
It's one soldier's own miracle on ice.
Being out on the ice means being free for me.
But Josh Hargis was never sure he'd get this far.
You really didn't know what recovery looked like, did you?
I didn't really know what the future was going to look like.
This is the image that struck so many of us. That's Army Corporal Hargis in 2013, just awarded a Purple Heart in Afghanistan after being injured by a suicide bomber. No one dreamed he was conscious until that salute.
I knew what to do. Presented my salute as best as I could.
We first met Josh and his wife Taylor shortly after that photo went viral.
I'm fortunate that he's still alive and that we still get to have our life together.
Josh taking on his daunting new challenge with the same fearlessness he had during four tours in Afghanistan. A slow road to recovery. Painful physical therapy coupled with learning how to walk again on prosthetic legs. Josh proudly taking part in a 222-mile warrior walk 4 years ago.
It's kind of mind-blowing to look back and see everything that we've been through in, honestly, a very short amount of time.
The couple now blessed with two boys.
Good job, guys.
How have the kids changed your life?
They kind of push me to stay active. I want to be a great father, and I'm not going to let being an APT kind of prevent me from doing that.
Josh crediting charities like Ranger Lead the Way and the Semper Fi Fund, which have helped him with his new passion, sled hockey.
And you're back on a team again.
There's no better feeling than working together as a team to achieve a common goal.
What do you want people to think about when they see your story?
There's a happy ending at the end of the road, as long as you put in the work, both of you.
What do you think about when you see that picture of you saluting, when you look at it now?
It was the end of one life and the beginning of another.
A pretty strong, amazing couple. So glad to share their story. That's Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt, and we want to give a big thanks to all the great folks in Denver who have come out to say hello tonight, and our partners at News 9 KUSA here in Denver. Thanks for watching, everybody, and good night. Thanks for coming out. I can do a selfie.